Hi there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talking Pollocks. It's a very special episode. An episode that we've had to split into many different episodes because it was so long and we did many talkings for our manifesto special. We're going to be splitting the policy areas up, making it a little bit easier for you to read. Might be a little bit of a delay between the episodes coming out, but hey-ho, at least you'll have a few more episodes to listen to this week. Thank you for your understanding. Open your ear canals and start listening, baby. Okay, you ready?
Yes, sirree.
All right, then. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Talking Pollocks Manifesto Destiny, episode 3 of the specials that we're doing for the manifestos. Oh, yeah, I'm back with Sean.
Yo, I'm here.
Apparently, Sean's turned into a gangster between this episode and the last.
I have. It's all this manifesto reading. It's turned me proper gangster.
Proper gangster. Oh, I see. Propaganda. Very clever.
Get it.
Sean!
That was
almost too clever.
Well, What can I say? I'm an expert at these sorts of things. Talking nonsense, I mean.
Yeah, well. That's any good politician, right?
Wow, you call me a politician?
Well.
Wow.
You might as well be. So.
That's rude.
We're back, special number 3, and this time it's probably one of the biggest talking points of this election, right?
Well, if you speak to, obviously we're going to cover their contract, but if you speak to the Reform Party, that's the main topic of this election.
It is, the immigration election.
It is, that's what they're calling it, the immigration election.
Yeah, where do we start? I think we start with the Tories, right?
Should we start with the incumbents?
I think we start with the incumbents, and of course, the Rwanda plan.
The good old Rwanda policy.
So for those of you who don't know, what Rishi Sunak was planning to do was anyone that arrived here on a boat was like, right, get off the boat, get on a plane, and we're going to take you to Rwanda. But a little bit of a hiccup in that. Rwanda apparently wasn't a safe country, so he had the law changed to say Rwanda's a safe country.
Yeah, specifically, the wording of the law. It wasn't that to be designated as a safe country, you have to meet these criteria. It was Rwanda is a safe country.
Rwanda is a safe country, TM.
And that was introduced by, is it the illegal migration bill?
Yes, that's right. And he was just planning to ship them all to Rwanda. Most people didn't agree with this and thought it was quite a bad idea. Yeah. Keir Starmer especially.
Well, let's give a bit of background. So in 2022, we had 45,000 illegal immigrants cross the channel.
Mm.
In 2023, was it just under 30,000?
Okay.
So in 2 years, that's 75,000 people that crossed the channel, right?
Yeah.
Well, the current agreement with Rwanda,
yes,
would take up to 300 of those people.
Wow, that's not even putting a dent in it.
It's not even a proportion. It's not even a percent.
It's not even a busload.
So
right, okay. So Rwanda scheme.
That's why there's a lot of the scepticism around the Rwanda scheme. See, now that is obviously based on the current wording of the current agreement that is in place.
How does it work? How is it going to work? Because do we just sort of drop them off there and go, right, welcome to Rwanda, see ya?
No. So they would be housed there in what would be classed as detention housing.
Right.
Although it is just housing. And they would live there, they would work in the community there. Until we have processed their asylum application. If their application is granted, then potentially we'll give them the offer to live in Rwanda. permanently.
You can have settled status in Rwanda
via
the UK.
So we're not offering them UK settled status.
I mean, surely these people that surely just go, let's just go to Rwanda then.
Well, you'd think, but they still...
I suppose that's the point of it, though, isn't it? It's supposed to be a deterrent rather than a...
Exactly. That's why the capacity is so low.
But anyone that can read will know that it's not really a deterrent, because your chances of actually being sent to Rwanda out of 75,000 people, pretty slim.
Yeah, obviously that's over 2 years, and it depends on... If you look at the track record of how long it takes to do a backlog, you know, that's probably... 300 people over the course of 2 years. They do say roughly...
I mean, why not pay Ryanair to do it?
Well, the thing is, see, they haven't even... So they have, according to the Conservative Party, they have now booked the flights. Yeah, they're booked for July.
Okay.
So if the Conservative Party takes office, they will take off, is what they're saying. And
they're
saying everything is booked ready, the airfields, the airlines.
Wow.
Everything.
Okay. Fair enough.
But airlines like... Ryanair were coming out in the media and saying, we don't want any part of this.
Oh, right, okay, fair enough.
Jim O'Leary.
Jim O'Leary, that's
like it. Is it
Mark O'Leary?
No, it's something. It's Jim.
We really should research these things beforehand, shouldn't we?
We should.
I didn't know that we were going to be talking about Ryanair, to be fair. So.
No, I wasn't expecting to be discussing Ryanair.
No.
To be honest.
Oh, something I do just want to mention,
which is... Michael O'Leary.
Michael O'Leary. I wasn't that far off with Mike.
Mark.
God, no, I said Mike. We're just making names up at this point.
Well, Mike is short for Michael, so...
Right, moving on then. Going back to what you said earlier, the illegal migration bill to prevent spurious legal challenges.
Yeah, so obviously one part of the Rwanda policy is that it was facing these legal challenges...
You come here, you said, okay, no, your asylum claim is not granted, and then the person would just go and appeal it in the courts, and the courts would go, approved.
Well, no, so it's not just that. When the flights to Rwanda, they were being appealed to the European Court of Human Rights to stop the Rwanda
this
flight
right,
taking
yeah.
off, remember?
Yeah.
The illegal migration bill is what obviously says Rwanda is a safe country. It prevents those legal challenges.
It still makes me giggle. Rwanda is a safe country.
It is. I don't see anything wrong with it. It's not as if, a massive genocide happened there 40 years ago or anything.
Yeah, it's not like that's a recent thing.
But we say that 80 years ago, there was a mass genocide in Germany, and that's a safe country.
Yeah, but that's not actually like defined by law as safe, so it could be, it could not be.
Well, under the criteria for safe country, bless you. Under the criteria for a safe country, Germany would be a safe country. You're welcome.
Suppose it's in the EU, right?
Exactly. Not in Africa.
Okay, so making it harder to... Sorry, that sneeze really took it out of me. Wow.
Yeah.
Spurious legal challenges, yeah, that bit.
So, yeah, so making it harder to challenge in the courts.
Sean's got it, thank you.
Try and...
Sean saved it, wow.
The next thing they want to do is crack down on organised crime.
So this is what Labour are really running on, isn't it?
So obviously, yeah, so this is the organised smuggling gang.
Yeah.
That operate to get the people across the channel.
Tamara Cohen has done a very interesting piece on Sky News.
There has been, yeah. The guy
about this today.
The guy was boasting that he'd made £800,000 in a year helping people, or I say helping people, I don't know how much help it is, but getting people across the channel. And you just see the...
I mean, he was talking about it like it was a business, like it was an actual job.
But
like,
it is. To them, it is a business. That's how they operate.
Maybe he can use the Rwanda scheme as like a bit of a, you know, come to the UK, get a free holiday to Rwanda. You can use it as like a marketing.
Exactly. You know, sell extra tickets.
Yeah.
But it's like drug dealers. They're organised crime, but they are...
Pause for dramatic effect.
You know, they're businesses at the end of the day. They might be organised criminals, but they operate it like a business, and that's how all crime is. You know, it doesn't surprise me that smuggling gangs do the same, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, but they don't pay any tax on that 800 grand, do they?
No, but drug dealers don't on the, you know, the £35 million they made on the cocaine that they sold to the House of Commons.
I mean, one of the easiest ways...
they sold to the people of the UK.
One of the easiest ways to raise, like, tax money would be to just... legalize weed.
Yeah.
Marijuana.
Well, you say that, but it's really difficult to tax it. So if you look across the spectrum where they have legalized it, so if we will take into account a few different examples. So California and other US states that have followed suit. You've also got Amsterdam. We'll use those two because they're the two most famous. They're not taxed in either of those countries because there is no way for them to tax it. Because even though marijuana has been made legal to sell and possess, it's still illegal as a substance.
Okay, makes sense.
Or to set to so like you can't open a bank account if you sell marijuana.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You couldn't open a business bank account.
Because it'd be a crime.
Because it would be a crime. So
wow, that's not confusing at all, is it?
That's drug dealing financial regulations.
Brilliant.
There, but it's yeah, that's
so,
the problem.
Moving on, return agreements to return illegal immigrants to their countries of origin.
Yeah, so this is something that they've already been doing. You know, we did it with Albania.
I mean, this is something that we have return agreements with several nations, don't we?
Yeah, with quite a lot. You know, Albania recently, in 2022, the people crossing the channel, the majority of them were from Albania. We signed a returns agreement with them, and now Albania is a minority in the people...
Yeah.
The nationality trying to cross. Now you're looking at...
if it wasn't Vietnam.
Vietnam is
And
is
Thailand, wasn't there? Weren't they
yeah,
recently?
Yeah, the sort of a few of the Asian countries. But so getting those returns agreements in place quite clearly does work.
Yeah, I mean, the one with Albania has obviously shown that it works, so fair enough.
That being said, how
also,
easy it is to agree them...
I'm not sure how this would work. But they also want to introduce a legal migration cap, which would be decided by the House of Commons.
Yeah, so this is moving away from the illegal immigration of crossing the channel and the boat.
So this is the legal migration.
So this is going more to the legal migration. So this is people who are moving to the UK for work, for education, for family, for care, whatever. For health reasons, medical reasons.
Any of a number of defined reasons.
Yeah, there's a list of legal reasons. And the House of Commons, or what the Tories want to do, they want to introduce a cap on this that would be agreed or voted on by the House of Commons.
Right.
So, obviously, the numbers would be decided based on...
Nobody would be able to agree on that number. It would never go through. Oh, wait, massive majority... Probably will.
Yeah, well, for Labour, if they were to introduce it, maybe.
Yeah. And ending the ability for students and workers from bringing dependents. Now, I mean, this is something that Nigel Farage has been harping on about a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, so at the moment, there are limits, and those limits have got stricter. So beforehand, I think they could bring up to 6 dependents.
Wow.
And I believe it is reduced to 1. For healthcare workers.
Okay.
But the Tories want to go further and just say, if you're coming to the UK for work or education, you can't bring anyone with you.
Fair.
I do agree with it to some extent. If you're coming over as a student, you don't need to bring your entire fucking family. I get that.
Yeah, I get that.
But on the other hand, if you're coming over here to work for the NHS... then I feel like you should at least be able to bring your wife or your husband.
Yeah, you should, you know, if you're going to move for work, you move with your family, right?
But they want to, and it's quite a common theme, I think Reform also want to do it, and I think there's other mention of it, but they want to end the ability for them to do that.
Right.
Which I do think is a bit of a...
So the Tories taking a bit of a... sort of a proactive approach.
Yeah, a little
I would
bit.
Say.
They're looking more away from illegal migration because they feel like their plan is working, and that's the obviously
which
the
is the Rwanda scheme,
trying to push. And they're focusing now on that legal migration, which obviously is the much larger number. You know, we're talking 95% of migration is legal.
Wow.
So yeah, it's quite a substantial amount.
All right, Rishi. Thanks for that.
Yeah, good old
Red Richard. Corner, what you got for us?
Good old... So...
First point, love this. Labour. Scrap the Rwanda Scheme and Illegal Migration Act. So
yeah.
Basically the opposite of the Tories completely.
Yeah.
Solar opposite.
So they have made this very clear. That would be gone. Rwanda would be gone. Rwanda would no longer be a safe country.
They would probably take that out of law. Or do you reckon that's going to be one of those laws? Like, you know the one where you can't hold a fish suspiciously?
No, it's in the Illegal Migration Act. So if they scrapped it, that would go.
So it would just be repealed completely.
Yeah, it would be gone.
Introduce a new border security command to tackle smuggling gangs. Now, this is obviously taking a proactive approach to illegal migration, but more on the root of the problem, or the source of the problem, rather than actually going after the people that... rehousing the people that do come.
Yeah, so this is more about going after the gangs themselves.
Not seeing a lot...
Actually...
Sorry, go on, Sean.
And actually try to stop it before the migration happens. Mm. My point around this one, and I find... Because, you know, it's the same as the crackdown on organised crime from the Tories.
Mm.
You know, we already do quite a lot. We, especially when it comes to cross-border crime, like migration. Because,
yes.
You know, we rely on the French to cooperate. And we all know that the French don't cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there's a limit to how far you can go with that.
Yeah.
And if you if I'm sure what your next point is going to be, I will carry on. You carry on.
My point was going to be, I'm seeing a lot of let's deal with the gangs, but I'm not seeing a lot of what are we going to do with the people that do arrive, because people will still keep coming. It's not just going to... Labour get in, right, boats stop. Like, it's not just going to happen overnight at the click of a finger, is it?
No.
So what's going to happen with the people that are here currently and are going to come? Ooh. You can't just say, oh, we'll deal with the gangs. Yes, but it's still happening.
We'll process their asylum applications. Is the underlying theme of it? It's they genuinely think that stopping the gangs will stop this illegal migration. It is a bit of a, you know, let's try it.
It's a mind freak.
It is a change from, you know, this.
I mean, they have noted here as well. This is on, if you're interested, it's on page 16 of the Labour manifesto. Set up new returns enforcement unit with additional 1,000 staff for removals to safe counties, but I think it means countries.
It does mean countries. Yeah. So this is more to battle the backlog, really. And
it's returns enforcement unit.
Yeah. So
the REU. Sorry.
So this is essentially just to speed up removals to safe countries for anyone who doesn't have the right to stay here. So this is for illegal immigrants who don't have an application to make, who have just come over because they want to.
Yeah.
Or if you've had your application denied or declined, or if you've been if you have to leave, if your visa's ended, for example.
Yeah.
Then the new enforcement unit, the new returns enforcement unit, as they're calling it. With this additional 1,000 members of staff, they're
ballsy. Saying,
speed up getting people back to these safe countries.
Yep, makes sense. I mean, it's a bit of a split, isn't it? Some of them are genuine asylum seekers. Some of them aren't.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Some of them are sneaking in. Some of them are, you know, abusing the system. It must cost a fortune and so many man hours sifting through that. There must be so much data to have to go through. So investing in the staff to be able to do that may not be such a bad thing.
No, I completely agree. I feel like there's a lot that could be done with illegal immigration. I do feel that Labour have definitely focused on illegal migration.
Yeah.
There's nothing in there about legal migration.
Okay.
Whereas you will see that, like, the Tories have mentioned... legal migration. Some of the other parties
They have mentioned it. It's just, you know, scrap Rwanda scheme and illegal migration act.
But there's nothing about legal migration, is what I'm saying. There's, you know, the people that come here to work legally and to come here to study.
So I'm assuming everything just stays the same under Labour?
Yeah,
the Tories got that bit right. We'll keep that bit the same.
Yeah, why not? Why not? It's a changed government, but we'll keep that bit the same. A
little bit lackluster from Labour, I have to be honest.
That's even though it's the immigration election as well.
Yeah, it's a huge talking point.
I feel like that's really a big letdown from Labour on that one.
We'll save the best till last, Sean.
Oh, the big point.
Yeah, let's go Lib Dems.
Lib Dems. So Lib we're Dems. Going. We're going to the far left, or now, to the more left of the spectrum.
Now, reading this, I have to say I don't necessarily agree with the language and what they're trying to personify. Ending hostile environment and invest in officers. I don't feel like the UK is a hostile environment.
So what they're saying is that the Rwanda scheme, the Illegal Migration Act, the way that we're currently dealing with migrants... Mm. is hostile, is what they're saying. They believe that shipping them off to Rwanda is a hostile act. Whether you believe that or not is a different kettle of fish. I personally don't. You've just said you don't. I feel like, you know, something has to be done. We're an island at the end of the day.
It's not like we're doing what the Mexican border control are doing, and that's branding the people that are trying to cross the border.
No, exactly. And, you know, it's not as if, you know, we're only an island. We can only take so many people.
We're a small island nation.
We also have laws in place and safe routes to come here. If we want people to use those routes and to choose those over illegal options, then we have to put a deterrent in place or to put something in place to stop people from using those illegal options and try and use the safe options.
That's what they're there for. And, you know, like we said, this report that Tamara Cohen's done on Sky News, $800,000 a year.
It's crazy.
$800,000.
Crazy amount of money.
By sticking people in a dinghy and saying, off you go.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's supply and demand. The demand is there for it, so there's going to be someone to supply it. That's the problem with just trying to fight it at the gang level.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's always going to be someone there, another person down the road, trying to do the same thing to make some money.
Just referring back to your notes here, Sean. Transfer policy of visas and overseas students out of the Home Office and into other departments.
Yeah, so this is regarding people that have... So this is regarding if you've applied for a visa or the policies around visas and overseas students, as it says on the tin. Take the decision-making out of the Home Office and put it in other relevant departments. So,
what other departments?
If it's to do with students, put it into the Department of Education. If it's to do with health workers, put it into the Department of Health. And so on and so forth, to try and split that load, because there's that such a massive backlog, as we know. They feel like having these decisions made, especially with like students and health workers and that, having those decisions made at the source in those relevant departments would make more sense. I don't know.
I don't know how well that would work.
I feel like it would open up.
It would be
higher numbers of migration because it would rely on every department to be telling each department how many people they're letting in.
Which just wouldn't happen because government departments don't talk to each other now.
No, exactly.
And they won't ever.
Exactly.
That's just a fact of life. The government's public sector machine. You still can't get our bins emptied on time. Still.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
But that's a whole different podcast. the Lib Dems also want to scrap the Illegal Migration Act and the Rwanda scheme. No shocks there.
It's a fairly right-wing.
They've been very
policy.
Vocal about it in the House as well, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a fairly right-wing policy. Lib Dems are fairly left, so it's no shock that they want to get rid of it.
Establish a dedicated unit to improve asylum decision-making. Minimum service standard of 3 months, but for all but most complex cases.
Yeah, so this was quite a bold claim that they were going to make a legal minimum standard that asylum applications would take no longer than 3 months to process.
That's a long time still.
Well, it's compared to how long they take now, that's quite a short period of time.
Yeah.
But you think if you're doing you've got to do all of that vetting on those people that are, and when we say vetting, it's not like you're trying to vet someone in the UK who's got quite a good.
You have to go
history.
To these nations and request data, don't you?
You go into, and sometimes you might not be able to do that because, you know, they're coming from countries, war-torn countries, or countries that don't have computer systems, for example. Yeah. And you've got to do a lot of your own digging to try and work out whether you've got to rule out terrorists and stuff like that. Obviously, I'm not saying that asylum seekers are all terrorists, but you have to rule out the ones that
you need to do the background checks. Yeah, it's no different from when I applied for my new job. I had to go through a background check. It'll be no different to that. You still have to go through the relevant checks.
At the end of the day, if the government didn't do that, and
it would open up the doors to terrorism.
And a terrorist attack did occur, then it would be the government that's blamed for that. So they have to do everything that they can to ensure that that doesn't happen. So obviously that's why it takes time.
Yeah.
But yeah, 3 months, apart from obviously most complex cases. But, but they haven't defined what that means.
They would have to define that, I think, for me to think that's a good policy.
In law, you have to define what complex means, because anything could be argued as complex, especially in a system like the asylum system.
Yeah, exactly. Me picking up this book off the desk could be seen.
Well, when you think of all the physics that are involved in it.
If I have, you know, if I've got, say, if I had no fingers, it would be extremely complex then, wouldn't it?
Even more so. Why would you have no fingers?
I was in a terrible logging accident.
What the fuck? This is news to me.
Good news. No, wait, that's not good news at all.
Not good news.
So the Lib Dems then, lifting a ban on asylum seekers working after 3 months, fair enough. And then they want to work closer with Europol and the French authorities as well. Now, we've tried to work closer with the French authorities. It hasn't worked.
No, it doesn't work because, as I said...
As
I made a point with Labour's policy, it requires the French to be cooperative.
No.
And we just know that the French aren't that cooperative with the British authorities. No. So,
for those who don't know, Macron, after the European elections, he's called an election in France. The European Parliament elections, I should clarify there. Mainly because of, obviously, the vote to the right was that far. And that gaping that he figured that he needs to give the votes back to the people. So he has done so. And obviously, this means that he could be unseated by Marie Le Pen.
Well, he won't be unseated.
Well, no, the Prime Minister?
The Prime Minister would
be. Prime Minister of France would be unseated, and he would be replaced by Marie Le Pen, which runs the right-wing party, which I've just forgotten the name of. It's just left my head. Apologies. But her getting in, she very well may want to work closer with Britain, because it will solve the problem for France as well.
Well, you say that.
And it will make her look good.
I don't know if it would solve the problem for France, you know.
No?
Because...
Give us your opinion, Sean. Talk pollocks to me.
I think if France was able to solve their migrant issue...
Yeah.
...then England or the United Kingdom wouldn't have one.
Oh wow, that's a very...
Do you know why? Because the
interesting
people...
Interesting theory.
Because where do you have to be to cross the channel?
France, Belgium, Holland, or Germany, I think.
Yeah, well, Germany, you're more likely to be dead before you get into the channel, because you'd have to go through the Danish belts, wouldn't you?
Denmark. Grades. Duh.
But yeah, so...
Sorry, Denmark.
So yeah, you're talking sort of France, Belgium and Holland are the main three countries that border the channel.
Yes.
So if France sorted their issue out and we didn't have migrants coming to the border of France to cross the channel.
Yeah.
We don't currently have them crossing from Belgium or Holland anyway.
Right.
So unless they start...
It's because it's too far. It's because, you know, that Dover to Calais, Dover to Calais stretch is the shortest stretch.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
So unless they were willing to move round towards Belgium and Holland and start shipping from there, then... And France solves their issue...
I mean, at that point, you might as well just cross the North Sea from Norway.
Exactly. And if France solves their issue, then potentially the UK might not have one. That obviously makes a lot of assumptions, and it's a lot of potentials, what ifs.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of the manifestos are also what ifs.
A lot of them are on what ifs. Let's be honest.
Assumptions, you know.
So the Lib Dems wanted to be a little bit more gung ho, I think. But basically, it just seems like a middle finger to the Tories. This.
Well, I feel like they're sticking with their standards, aren't they? They're sticking pretty left wing. quite open, quite welcoming. And again, it shows that they want to work closer with Europe and
that goes to the underlying theme of rejoining, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, definitely. So I think, you know, it doesn't stray from where I'd expect the Lib Dems to have been.
So Lib Dems, no surprise.
No
Greens,
surprise.
You're in for a surprise here, everyone.
Well, the Greens have taken a page out of the Lib Dems book and gone, actually...
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. This is not left-wing enough.
Let me throw this all the way to the left. How, so far to the left.
How far left can we possibly get?
I think the furthest left that you could possibly get is...
The Greens Manifesto.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's about as far left as you can get.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And there are some themes that marry up with the Lib Dems. You know, they start theirs with this whole end the hostile environment.
Again, I just don't agree with that. I don't feel the UK is a hostile environment. We're not doing anything hostile towards the people that are coming here. They're coming here asking for help. We're saying no and we're sending them back. It's not, I don't feel like that's a hostile environment. If people do feel like that's hostile, I'd love to see what hostile actually is.
No,
that's obviously just my opinion, but I just feel like that's nonsense talk. It is nonsense.
No, completely agree. Completely agree. And as I said earlier, we have to do something. We have to do something about
yes.
it. You know, people are losing their lives in the channel.
You know, there's kids. There's bloody people are bringing their babies on these little dinghies that aren't. You know, they're not going to be any good down the fucking. The River Esk, or you know, the
in
Thames,
a fucking paddling pool in the back garden.
Let alone the English Channel.
Exactly.
One of the busiest shipping lanes in the world, and I'm not saying that because I'm British and I'm proud. That is genuine. It is one of the busiest shipping lanes in the world.
Yeah, and you know, it's so. I agree. I don't think it's a hostile environment.
No.
At all. To be honest.
End minimum income requirements for spouses of people with visas.
Yeah, so again, this is... So, you know, the Lib Dems wanted to... The Tories wanted to completely end the ability for people to bring dependents and that with them.
Yep.
Well, the Greens want to do the complete opposite.
Nice.
So at the moment, the policy is to be able to bring your spouse... You have to meet a minimum income threshold. Whether that's on your own...
You need
own,
to be able to support them, basically.
Yeah, so whether that's on your own or they have a secured job...
So that would be like getting a sponsor from an employer here in the
yeah,
UK, right?
Yeah, so and together your income would meet this threshold.
Yeah.
And you can bring the spouse with you. If you don't meet that threshold, you can't bring your spouse with you, which I think is a good idea, because as you said, it makes sure people can support themselves.
Yes,
when
and,
coming
and they're paying, and it'll, you know, the government will set these levels because they'll be making sure that they're paying the right amount of tax as well.
Exactly.
You know, the government needs to benefit from them being here, and they do that in the form of tax and national insurance and everything else.
Exactly. But the Greens want to end that. They want to stop that. If you move here, you can bring your spouse there. If you get a visa, you can bring your spouse.
We also said, on the flip side of that, if you move house, if you move for a new job, you want to take your family with you. You don't want to just, right, you know, Sean, I've taken a new job in Scotland. I'm going to move up there. You're going to still live here in Yorkshire.
Yeah, I do see the human element to it.
Yeah?
There is those two sides.
I know, but... sometimes the human element seems to get lost in translation when we talk about immigration. But like we just said... People are bringing babies on rubber dinghies. That has to stop one way or another.
Exactly.
And that's the important thing to remember here. We're not trying to stop it because we think it's stupid. We're trying to save lives. It's dangerous.
It is dangerous. And that moves on to the next thing that the Greens want to do, which is introduce more safe routes for asylum seekers.
I mean, I don't know. What do we do? Open a bridge?
That's not what they mean. So to apply for asylum, obviously you have to be fleeing persecution or the threat of death.
Yeah, I mean, we have the Channel Tunnel and boats.
That's not what ferries.
There's two safe routes right there.
That's not what
planes.
They mean.
That's three safe routes.
Not what they mean. What they mean
hot air balloon?
A safe route to asylum. So it's a legal route, a route that is it's open to law. So just
hang glider.
Jumping on a train illegally and crossing the border, that obviously isn't allowed.
Helicopter, I've just named like seven.
You have to come here legally. And
you have to apply for immigration
status. And there are places that you can go across the world to apply for asylum in this country. You know, we have a consulate and an embassy in pretty much every country.
Except Russia. They don't really like us there. They sent us home.
We've got an embassy in Russia.
Didn't they send us all home? Oh, no, it was our attaché, wasn't
it? They sent our attaché home. We don't have one in... There are a few countries, obviously, like North Korea, we don't have an embassy.
Yeah, funnily enough, they said no when we asked.
And yeah, there's a few countries that we don't. But obviously, we have a... In the majority of countries around the world, there's somewhere you can go and apply for asylum.
Yeah. The next one is interesting. I suppose there's a good and a bad to this, right? And I'll discuss both, right? Introduce a... End the ban on asylum seekers working while their applications are being considered. Now, like Sean was saying earlier, some of these applications can take months and months, some of the more complex cases. Now, let them work, fine. Brilliant. How are you going to tax them?
Yeah, and that's the problem, because obviously they won't have a national insurance number.
They won't have a national insurance number. So how do you tax them?
And they won't even have temporary...
They won't have anything, any documents to necessarily say, and you can't pay them in cash, because cash is well on its way out.
Well, that would technically be illegal. You would still have to tax them. You would still have to register tax for that employee.
Yeah, can they open a bank account? How are they going to get paid?
And that's the thing. It's a difficult one. There's not a lot of detail. I think it feeds into their plan to... They really want to introduce a faster and fairer process.
Yeah. But on the flip side, it would be great for the economy. A lot of temporary workers, which, you know, Britain has a bit of a shortage of.
Yeah, I suppose
a lot of temporary workers might actually give a little bit of a boost to the economy.
You know, having more workers, having more people here working...
Having more workers is never a bad thing.
...benefit the economy.
The list of people on long-term sick is growing and growing and growing.
That's a whole different kettle of fish.
Scotland has an ageing population. So a lot of these workers, whether temporary or whether they're granted status or not, giving them the opportunity to work, it'll give them skills if they do get given status. If not, it'll give them skills to potentially go home with or go to another country with. It might help with another asylum application elsewhere. I think the pros outweigh the cons on this one.
Yeah, I completely agree. It would require a big change, and
oh god,
it would require, you know,
and
we would
huge
have to
amount of investment first.
We would have to introduce a new sort of tax ID system potentially.
Yeah.
Whereas it doesn't rely on national insurance numbers, and instead you get a social security number, and anyone that enters the country gets issued one.
So there's other rights as well that the Greens want to give. You know, they want to abolish the 10-year route to settlement. All those who have fevers will have the right to vote. Introducing a department for migration likened to justice.
Linked to justice. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. That's my bad. I haven't got my contacts in. Sorry, my bad. Likened to justice. And ending the restriction on students bringing family or dependents and minimum income requirements. So this is what Sean was saying earlier about you need to be able to meet this level of income to be able to support yourself. The government wants to pay X amount of tax, blah, blah, blah.
But this is for...
The Greens want to stop that.
This is for students.
But just for students.
Well. So obviously they wanted to beforehand for all visas. So for visas, so that's working visas. They want to also do it for students, and also you can bring family and dependents pretty much regardless. They would remove all restrictions, not just the minimum income.
So the Greens, obviously being very left.
The way that they have
very open armed.
The way that they have put it in their manifesto is that they are sharing a fairer, greener welcome.
Okay.
Which is a very common trend in the titling of their manifesto.
Sounds good in theory.
Yeah, in theory, but we all know that the world doesn't operate on theory.
No. The world operates on facts, and the fact is the boats keep coming. What are you going to do about the boats?
The boats do keep coming.
No mention of boats.
Yeah, so they're the complete opposite to, like, Labour, and they have focused solely on, pretty much solely on how to stop, or how to to increase
legal migration
and ways that people can come here legally, and nothing about really stopping illegal.
And you'll see why we've done the Greens now, because next up, ladies and gentlemen, is the other side of this coin. And the other side of this coin is a slightly lighter blue than the Tories, and that's reform.
More teal, isn't it?
It's more teal. Now, we must make a point of this, that Reform have released a document. Now, we've referred to it as a manifesto. However, it's worth noting that it isn't a manifesto. It's a contract with the people.
It's a manifesto.
But it's a manifesto. But it's not. It's a contract with the people.
It is, but it isn't.
It is, but it isn't. Now, Reform is run as a business. For those of you who don't know, it is a business. So it makes sense for them to have a contract. But my point of view is, this is threefold. Number one, do we sign it?
So they have.
Number two, what if I want to amend some of the terms of this contract?
Then that would have to be agreed in writing by all parties.
And number three, who do we hold? What's the dispute resolution? Who do we hold to account when this contract isn't met? Because a contract is a legally binding document that says we will do this, and if this doesn't happen, this will happen, and if this doesn't happen, this will happen.
Yeah, and that's where it really differs from a contract. You know, with a contract, you have legal protection. There are legal obligations on parties.
Yeah.
Whereas with this contract, there is no, just like a manifesto, there is no legal comeuppance if it's not adhered to, if it's not followed.
I just thought it was a bit weird. And I've never seen anyone start a contract launch, by saying, we're not going to win this election. Great start, Nigel.
Well, yeah, go in there with some optimism.
But it goes without saying that he's got a cult following. Everybody knows this.
He has got his own following, but we can all see that the Reform is growing.
It's worth noting here that Reform are growing in popularity, and my mum said to me recently, he is saying the things that people are too afraid to say in this woke culture. And I've thought on that for the last couple of hours, and I kind of agree with her. Nobody really wants to say the cancel culture, right? Nobody really wants to say anything through fear of being, you know, air quotes, cancelled.
I don't agree with him, though. And we'll see in his policies that, you know, they are quite bold. They are
exactly
direct.
What you're expecting them to be, everybody.
I don't personally feel that they are considered. You know, we have to when running a country. I know migration is a problem, but you do have to have some levels of migration. And when you say certain things, so there has been a slight update since I wrote my notes. So on there it says freeze non-essential migration.
Yes.
They've changed the wording of that, and they want net zero immigration.
So this is one person leaves the UK and moves out of the UK, one person comes in.
Yeah,
one
so
in, one out.
For every person that comes in, one person has to leave. And I saw a very, very good interview today with the deputy leader of Reform UK. And they were saying, so when you're saying in terms of coming in, one out, mm-hmm. Are you going to force people to leave?
No, you just won't. Nobody will be let in.
But what if we need people? So, for example, so one thing that we know that we do rely on and that we do need from abroad are people to work in the NHS.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have enough British people that run the NHS.
But if we desperately needed someone to come in, we would grant them asylum status.
But not according to this. And it's just going back to that wording of contract. Not according to their contract.
Yeah.
They wouldn't. They would have net zero migration.
Bold claim.
So it's a very bold claim, and it's a very difficult one to come to, because as I said, it comes to that point of, okay, well, we need people to come in, but are we going to start forcing people out?
Yeah. Now, surprisingly, he's taken a leaf out of the old Nige. He's taken a leaf out of the Tories' books next. Stop the boats with a 6-point plan. Stop the boats, that phrase. I have the feeling that was a Tory phrase, was it not?
Stop the boats.
Stop the boats.
Was, yeah.
It was, wasn't
sure
it?
Was, I'm pretty sure there's a Hot Five that... series about it. But...
There were, yeah, there might be. Have a look on YouTube, at Griff and Sean. hashtag shameless drop. 6-point plan for stopping the boats, right?
Yes.
Rishi will be reading this with keen interest.
Yeah, because
sure
I'm sure he'll be comparing his point plan.
Number one, recognise a national security threat.
Yes.
So number two, leave the ECHR. Number three, leave the ECHR. Number three, zero illegal migrants to be resettled in the UK. Number four, offshore processing of migrants. Number five, new Department of Migration. And number six, pick up migrants off boats and take them back to France. Now... We can't do that.
There's a lot to unpick in that. In that bullet point there, and in that
list.
Point plan. So, recognise the national security threat. Easy point to cover there.
Yep, easy.
Of course, there's a national security
threat. It's a threat.
We don't know who's crossing. Yeah. Start with. So there we go. Leave the ECHR. So this is the European Court of Human Rights.
Yep.
This is the court that all those legal challenges were taken to about the...
To stop Rwanda.
The Rwanda scheme.
Yeah.
To prevent them ever being able to get involved again...
We'll leave.
And that they've said that that would happen in the first 100 days of Parliament.
Is that something that you can do in less than 100 days?
Well, they seem to think you can. I don't know what the process for leaving the ECHR is, to be honest. I don't think anyone's ever done it.
I don't think anybody's ever wanted to.
No, because it makes you look a bit fascist.
It does make you look a little bit fascist, yeah. A little bit.
Sort of saying it's a court of human rights. Yes. It just has those wrong connotations, doesn't it? Not saying they're fascist, I'm just saying that they're the connotations that it has.
So, no illegal migrants to be resettled in the UK. Again, not a lot to unpack in that one.
No, again, it's resettled them elsewhere. If they're granted asylum applicant status, settle them elsewhere is the plan.
Yep, if not, send them home. Offshore processing of migrants, number four.
Yeah, so that is that's essentially like the Rwanda scheme, but really
yeah, but where?
But really ramped up, and there would be they want multiple off-site off
where?
A site.
Did they say where?
No.
No, they haven't mentioned where, so they have no plans.
No.
Don't have any idea, because do you know what other countries are probably going to say?
No. Yeah. We were quite lucky to get Rwanda to agree, and that was probably, they probably ticked off about 100 countries before.
Because it needs to be somewhere close by, because it's not like we can ship them to, like, Canada, for example. Because the flights alone would cost a fortune.
We're shipping them to Southern Africa.
I mean, yeah, is it about the same distance? Probably further
it's
to
not,
Rwanda.
It's not, you're not talking, like, it's not as if we're taking them to, no, Dorset. We are shipping them off to Africa. Fine, pop them next door. And fuck's sake. But yeah, so they also, like the Green Party, have a department for migration or for migrants.
Oh, who'd have thought the Greens and the Reforms manifesto is crossing over?
Yeah, I know. I have a feeling, though, that Reforms would be more of an anti-migration department.
Yeah, more of a police department.
Yeah, whereas the Greens very much would be a migration department.
Yeah.
So again, it does what it says on the tin, doesn't it? It's one of those policies that it's not going to make any... tangible difference.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Secure detention for all asylum seekers. Oh, sorry, no, hang on. I'm getting ahead of myself, Sean. Picking up migrants off boats and taking them back to France.
Yeah, so...
This is the one that we need to unpack.
This is a... It's an ambitious claim because, if we could do it, why don't we?
Why don't we do it already?
And there's quite a simple answer to that. And that's because we have no legal right to. Or no legal ability to do so.
We can't, because effectively we would be technically importing someone to France, because if they've crossed the border in the Channel...
We'd be people smuggling.
We would be people smuggling.
However...
Under law, right.
However, in the contract with the people...
Oh, yeah.
They have, in brackets, after this point, put... Mm. We are legally allowed to do this under international treaties.
They haven't expanded more on that?
No, they've not said what international treaties they seem to think that means we can just drop them off at France's doorstep.
Any idea what it might be?
No, because there's no international treaty that would allow us to do that.
So that's a straight up lie?
As far as I can tell, from my research.
Okay. We'll do a little bit more research on that
point. I will
point.
Keep digging, and we'll keep a track of that.
But what's to stop France from going, no?
Well, if we're allowed to do that under international treaties, what stops France picking them up off their beaches and bringing them back to the UK and dropping them off Dover's shores and going home?
Yeah, they'll just end up going on continuous boat rides around in circles.
You know, and then climate change would be a whole issue about that, you know, the constant
boat
trips.
It's a lot of diesels.
And I'd be a bit pissed off because I don't get a free boat trip from the government.
Now, people would want free boat trips.
If I wanted to cross the channel, I'd have to pay for it.
Yeah, and pay a lot of money, actually. P&O, you fucking rip-offs.
Exactly.
Other ferry operators are available.
Yeah.
So the next point.
Yes.
Deport foreign nationals immediately after... I know I've missed one. We'll come back to that one. But I wanted to discuss this one. Deport foreign nationals immediately after they are released from prison and withdraw citizenship. Okay. Now, I can see the point that they're trying to make here. Like, if they've come here just to commit crime and be dicks, and they end up in prison, then they go out, be a dick, go back in. It's a strain on the system, right? Withdraw their citizenship and send them back to the country of origin. Okay, I get it. People do make mistakes, though.
Yes, and, you know...
And the threat of losing your shit... If you've worked hard to gain British citizenship, and you know, say, for example...
And it's not a quick process to get British citizenship.
You know, say, for example, that you were inadvertently involved in some sort of money scheme at work, and you got roped into it, and you ended up serving a year in prison. As soon as you left prison, you would be put on a plane or a boat and sent home. So you're sent to your country of origin.
And I
don't think that is right.
And that's where...
It needs to be a case-by-case basis. I just don't feel that somebody making a genuine mistake... And the whole idea of going to prison is to be rehabilitated, not be rehabilitated and then sent to a random country that you haven't lived in for God knows how many years. I feel like that's unfair and that policy isn't going to work.
Yeah.
You okay over there? Did I catch you by surprise in the middle of recording a podcast?
No.
Brilliant. You okay?
I'm fine. I've forgotten what I was going to say. I was going to say, I tried to interject.
You tried to interject with silence?
No, I tried to interject four times.
Ah, right. Well, I don't think it's going to work. You can't, What are you going to do? Just drop them off at the airport and go, there you go. Bye. You can't do that.
That's not what the plan is. Obviously, the plan is to put them straight on a plane, not to drop them off at an airport.
As soon as they're released from prison, it says.
Well, yeah.
Oh, immediately
not,
after.
They're not going to drop them off at an airport. They're going to put them on a plane.
No, I mean like at the airport in the country that they're going to.
Well, yeah, once they're in that country, they're not our problem. It's the plan. It's, you know, and realistically, it's not our problem. They're not citizens of this country anymore.
Yeah. But having that threat looming over you, I mean, it would be a deterrent not to do crime.
I do agree with it. I'd say as soon as they're convicted...
Really? So they're not served their time here?
Personally, we've got a problem. We've got a problem in our prison system.
We do.
Our prisons are full.
They are full.
You know, they're at 120% capacity or something. And we're releasing people 2 months early.
And nobody said they were going to build more.
Yes, they did. The Tories have.
Oh, is that coming up?
Yeah,
in another special.
Under policing, crime and justice. All right.
Couple more points then for reform. Secure detention for all asylum seekers.
Yes, so this is moving away from the hotels and moving more to a prison system.
More like an American-based system, right?
Yeah, like Immigration Customs Enforcement.
Yeah. Restricting student dependence. Only essential international students allowed to remain after study, which is, again, going back to this Lib Dem Green debate.
Well, so this is this. Well, obviously, restrict the dependence. Yeah, this goes even further. So this is saying that once you've finished your studies in this country, unless we need you, get out.
I mean, it's not quite that harsh.
It is. Unless you're an essential skill that the country requires, you will be told to leave.
And that's and what qualifies you? Is it just what the country it's happens what the country to need would, at the time?
So, obviously, I'm assuming medical professionals would constantly be required.
Yeah.
Like they are currently. So that would obviously stay on the list. But then it would vary.
Yeah.
Depending on what the country requires year on year. And it is that simple. And if you don't qualify, you will be told to get out.
Yeah. Fair.
Which...
I mean, and under that, although
anyone...
Don't we have a skills-based immigration policy at the moment anyway?
There are parts that... So we've got income-based and we have skills-based.
Yeah. But there is a route in for skills-based immigration, isn't there?
But they're talking about removing that.
Oh.
It's about restricting migration to what the country requires. But
nice.
on that net zero basis.
Okay.
So that's why I'm struggling to... It's a great idea, and I do feel like, you know, a lot of people want net zero migration.
I feel like the whole point of net zero... excuse me. Wow. Sorry. I feel like the whole point of Nigel Farage and Reform wanting this whole net zero migration is... it doesn't really make sense. Like you said, you can't force people to leave. What if people don't want to come? And lots of people start leaving.
We know people want to come. That's never been a problem. The problem is people leaving the country.
But with reform in power and the policies that they'll put in place in welfare and stuff like that, people won't want to come to the UK because the things that we're currently offering them won't be on offer anymore.
But that's... And that's what they're saying. So they're saying about, okay, well, they're the sort of people we don't want coming to the country. The people we want coming to the country are people that are coming here to support themselves, to work hard, etc., etc. They're trying to say, we'll root out the people who aren't going to benefit society.
Yeah.
Or benefit us as a country. But theirs is far more restrictive. So, for example, with this whole student... policy of not allowed to remain after you study. So if you're not a doctor or a nurse, so I'm just going off an assumption because they haven't given enough detail about what would qualify, and I understand that because obviously it will vary between different years and that of what is an essential student. So if I've done a business degree, for example, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm not an essential student, but I will still benefit the economy because I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go out and do business. I'm going to start a business.
I'm going to go and do business.
Yeah, I start my own business or work within a corporate, potentially work within a corporate environment or a small business and help expand that and use the degree that I've earned to pay into the economy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very restrictive.
I mean,
because of the limited information behind it.
Yeah, and just on the back of the economy, they also want to stop illegal working by enforcing current laws. Now, if you stop all illegal working, I mean, it's a bit vague, first of all, that point.
So...
enforcing current laws, fair enough. But if you stop illegal working, unfortunately, it is one of those things that our economy kind of, not relies on, but... kind of leans on a little
bit. There is a lot of illegal working, and so the meat behind this point is essentially what they're saying is that the laws against illegal immigrants working in the UK, what we have in place at the moment, the potential for, I think it's unlimited fines,
yeah, that's right,
the guidelines,
yeah,
but that they're never handed out. What Reform is saying here and what Nigel Farage is really pushing is that we need to really enforce these laws.
Show that deterrent.
Enforce the massive, humongous fines that these, or penalties that, you know, potential prison sentences on companies and directors.
Make it a deterrent, yeah.
That are employing people illegally and so on. And like, to make it a deterrent, it's going back to, like, what they're trying to do with the Rwanda scheme and the Tories and that. Deter people from taking these actions in the first place.
Yeah. It makes sense. I agree with that. It needs to be. It's the same with health and safety. People don't... The health and safety... I mean, don't get me wrong. The most recent ones out of the health and safety courts have been quite harsh, I must admit. There's some really interesting reads, actually, if you're interested in that kind of thing. Where was I going with that?
I don't know.
I can't remember. But enforcing it needs to be those increase. That's where I was going. Those increased fines are going to be a deterrent, and it is going to make businesses think twice. Oh, actually, yeah, maybe we should give them hard hats. Maybe we should get them health and safety gear, because you know there's a legal requirement to do that. So I think that would be a bigger deterrent for a lot of businesses thinking, oh, we can just get some cheap labour on the side. Don't have to worry about income tax or anything like that. Do you know what I mean?
And in the long run, I think that will benefit people because, you know, there'll be more jobs available and wages would be higher because, you know, the only reason that some wages are quite so low is because of the illegal workforce that don't have to be paid as much.
Yep. Makes perfect sense. I like that. So, there you are. Immigration from the five big ones.
Yeah.
Sean, what do you think?
What do I think?
Who came out on top for you?
I don't think any of them have really hit the nail on the head.
Everybody have seemed to have dodged the main issue for me. If I was to pick a standout, I think it would probably be the Tories.
Yeah, I just don't think
that. I say that very loosely, and that is only because they've got the Rwanda scheme. Nobody else has said we're going to take them and put them here. We have a plan to do this.
Yeah.
The Tories are the only ones that have actually come forward and said,
and I suppose
we've got a plan to do this. This is what we're going to do. We're going to send them here.
I suppose they have the benefit of being the incumbent. So yeah. They've had the time to put these plans in place for Rwanda.
Yeah.
I do feel that, you know, certain parties hit on certain points. You know, I do like the idea of the Rwanda scheme and offshore processing.
Yeah.
I do feel that, you know, we need to control dependents coming across with students and workers. Maybe not end it completely for everyone, but, you know, there needs to be something in there to limit the number that's coming across.
Yeah.
You know, as I said earlier on, if you're a student, you don't need to bring your whole family. If you're working in our NHS, okay, maybe bring your wife and your child.
Yeah.
I just don't feel that... It's one of those issues that I don't ever feel that a political party is going to be able to get right.
On the flip side of that, I do think that Labour going after the gangs is a good idea as well. Now, again,
definitely.
What are you going to do about the people that are still coming? The gangs aren't just going to stop overnight when Keir Starmer gets into power. It's just not going to happen.
As I said,
so
as
that,
we
that
know
was a standout for me as well. But I think out of all of them, the Tories came out on top for me.
Yeah, but as we know with drug crime... Going after gangs doesn't stop drug crime. It makes it more prolific, if anything.
Yeah.
So that's the danger with that.
Well, hopefully we managed to dissect that enough for you, everyone. That's another hour of Talking Pollocks done. This is three. Manifesto Special 3.
Manifesto Special 3.
Manifesto Special 3. We hope you enjoyed. Next one. Next up.
Housing.
Yeah, an issue that's close to mine and Short's heart. Because housing is, trying to save and buy a house and stuff, absolute nightmare.
Honestly, it's crazy, isn't it?
Sorry, Sean. I spoke over you there, my bad.
I was just saying that on your point of buying a house up for the next podcast, yeah, buying a house is crazy, so we're going to see what they can do for us.
Yes. You can email us, talkingpollocks@criffandsean.com. That's CRIFFNCSEAN .com. Duh. You can also follow us on Twitter @CriffandSean. You can subscribe to us on YouTube, where we upload all of our Twitch streams, which means you can always find us on Twitch as well. We stream most evenings. It's been a bit spurious at the moment. The schedule's a bit all over the place because we're recording this for you on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts. But for now, we'll leave you in peace. Sean?
Enjoy, everyone. We will see you soon for Housing.
Housing coming up next.
Indeed.
Love you all.
Love
see
you
soon.
All.
Bye.